Now, returning again to the book of Job, at least we'll begin the book of Job. There are other verses that we want to turn to as part of our thoughts and considerations this afternoon. But our text is found in the verse 14. And there we read that, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." Let's just seek God's help and prayer. Gracious God and Father, we thank you for this precious book we hold in our hands that we have had opportunity to read a little of already. We ask that thou would write thy word upon our hearts. And we pray that we might be ready listeners, that we would have ears to hear what the Lord would say today. Not just ears to hear, but that we would have hearts that would be open and receptive to the good seed of thy word, that it might bring forth much fruit for the glory of thy name. We pray in the will of our Savior. Amen. This little series that we commenced last week on the subject of hearing from God, or hearing God speak, began as part of our Friday morning Bible study a few weeks back, when we began to look at the book of Hebrews, where we read in the opening verse that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I spent considerable portion of time considering those words of how God has spoken not only in the past but continues today to speak to us through his Son, and came very quickly to the conclusion that if God is speaking to us, that must mean that he has a message to communicate. And if he is communicating a message to us, then it must be in a form that we are able to understand and appreciate. Because if we are to have a relationship with God, then communication must be a two-way street. And last week we looked at the subject of the receiving of God's truth. We looked at the parable of the sower and the different types of ground representing the hearts of those who hear, and some who refuse to hear, and God's precious word. And we looked at the nature of our heart in with regards to God speaking to us. This evening we're coming to Job chapter 13 and the verse 14, and we're going to ask the question, how then does God speak to us? Having already identified that God does speak, and that we must have hearts receptive to hear him, how then can we hear God speak? How does God talk to us? When we talk about people listening to God and God talking to people, as some come away with a very mystical opinion of what's happening, they consider it as something unusual or something extraordinary that God should speak to humankind, when in reality, God speaks to us all of the time. He continually speaks to us because he has a message for us to hear. Indeed, any of us can talk to God in times of prayer and praise, and God speaks to us. We read here in Job 33:14 that God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And what the writer is saying here, that the problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is our understanding, our perception. We used the illustration last week of the cordless phone that's picking up interference, that sometimes you need to press the button that changes the channel in order to cause the signal to be clear and easily understood. So God is speaking, He is communicating with us. If there is a problem with the message or with the signal, the problem is with us. God desires that relationship with us. He desires to communicate with us. He has created within us the capacity to hear His voice and to understand it. If there's interference, then we must look at our own hearts. How then does God speak to us? Well, we have to say from the very outset that God is not limited in the ways that He speaks to us. He's not limited to a single way. Indeed, there are many ways in which God has communicated with mankind down through the ages. When we consider some that are found in the scriptures, we would be shocked to receive communication from God in such a form today. For instance, He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He spoke from a cloud on Mount Sinai. He brought messages through angels. He spoke through the fiery pillar. On one occasion, He even spoke to Balaam through a donkey. Those are not ways that we anticipate God speaking to us today. What I want to do this afternoon is identify what we consider to be the four most common ways that God speaks to us today. And through those ways, we want to be listening for His voice. The number one way, the primary way through which God speaks to us today, is through the Word of God, the Bible that you hold in your hand. We're told in Hebrews 1 that God speaks to us today through the Son. And John chapter 1 identifies the Son of God as being the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate, and the Bible that you hold in your hand is God's precious Word. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, of His will and His message for us. The primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16, we find these key words recorded for us. They're good words to know and remember. And they certainly put into perspective everything else that we read. We're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is God's primary way of speaking to us today, through the Bible. Some people look at the Bible as if it's just a collection of stories, some wonderful thoughts and ideas of men written down and recorded for us to help us understand how men understood God in days past. That is not what the Bible is. All Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration literally means in the Greek language, God breathed. All Scripture is given by the breath of God. These are His words. Just as our words come out with our breath, so too do the Scriptures of truth come from the breath of God. All Scripture is given by the breathing out of God. These are His words. God being who He is, that means His words carry His nature and His attributes upon them. Therefore, these words are absolutely reliable. There's no other book that is reliable as the Scriptures are. It can be counted upon in every situation. It will guide us without error. It will correct us when we go astray. It will comfort us when we need encouragement. It will help us. But if we don't ever get into this book, the question remains, how then can God ever speak to us? that this book is the breathing out of God of His Word for you and I, how will we ever hear God speak unless we are found in this book? That's why we always seek to encourage the necessity of a daily quiet time. When you speak to God in prayer, when you read His Word and God speaks to you through the Bible. If we're not doing that on a daily basis, then we're missing out on the number one way by which God speaks to His people. If we come away today saying God never speaks to me, we ask, are you reading your Bible? Are you found daily in the Word of God? The Scriptures affirm that God seeks to communicate with us. God has spoken. But if we're not reading our Bible, we might as well ask, why does no one telephone me if we have the telephone switched off at the wall? That's the reason why the call will not come through. We're not plugged in. If you were to receive a message today that tomorrow or the day after that you were invited to meet with the Prime Minister and you were asked to attend at such and such a place at such and such a time in order that you might have an audience with the Prime Minister, you might think to yourself, well, someone that important wants to meet with me, then I'm going to do whatever's necessary to get to that place and to be in time in order that I might communicate with. Well, how much more important is it to meet with God? And we don't have to go to Parliament House in order to meet. We can do it at the edge of our bed. We can do it at the dinner table. When you sit in an armchair with a cup of coffee in your hand and read your Bible. God is speaking. He speaks to us through His Word. And that the only time that we are found in the Word of God is once a week or twice a week on a Sunday, then we're missing out on what God has for us. Now, I know some will argue that the Bible is an intimidating book. How many other books do you have in your library that are bound in leather? I've known some unbelievers that don't even want to touch the Bible because they recognize it as being a holy book. How many other books do you have that places a number at the beginning of each sentence? It's a book that's set apart and is filled, yes, with strange names and strange places and strange customs that require our understanding to be open to it. Yes, the Bible can be an intimidating book. But it's also a manual for our life. It's the owner's manual. You buy a new car, you open up the glove compartment and there you'll find the owner's manual. Here's the designer's intent for the car. And you read that manual and you follow what it says. And if you follow the correct procedures and keep everything in tune the way that you're instructed and carry out the various checks and balances at the appointed time, what will happen? Your car will run much better for much longer. Disregard the owner's manual. Don't follow the change of oil or the change of various parts at the appointed time. You're asking for trouble. And that's what the Bible does. It's the owner's manual. And we ought to be consulting it daily and seeking His Word. God speaks through His Word. How do we get started reading our Bibles? There are various reading plans that are available. We have some at the back of the church if they're of any help. We print one in our order service every week in order to help you go through the Scriptures in 12 months. What if you're just beginning? I suggest you start with one of the Gospels, probably John or Mark. Then read the book of Acts. Read some Old Testament history. Read the letters to the church. The important thing is that we set a regular time in the Word of God. I would suggest you get involved in the Bible study. You make time each week to come and hear the Word of God as it is read and as it's opened up, as we seek to go through the portions of Scripture and open the truths for our understanding. These are things that help us. It also leads me to my second point. God speaks through His Word, and He speaks through His ministers. I don't know if you've ever sat in a church service and felt that God was speaking directly to you and to no one else in the audience that day. But seemingly what was being said from the pulpit was a message that applied solely to you. And it sounded as if God was speaking to you. He was. At that very moment, God was speaking through His servant to tell you what He wanted to say to you. For often we find that God uses other people around us to share His Word with us. Now, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians and to the chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 13. Listen to this prayer of the Apostle Paul. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And what Paul is saying, is what he's intimating to us, is that when God's servants effectively handle the Word of God and read it and explain it and expound it and preach it and apply it to the hearts of all who listen, that God speaks through that. "You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." That's why it is important that we are found under a biblical ministry. That's why we want to hear preaching that turns to the word of God and explains the passage that has been read and applies its truths to our heart, because that's how God speaks to us. God speaks through His servants. Call them teachers, call them preachers, call them pastors or evangelists, call them by whatever name you want. But the fact remains that our lives change as we listen to the Word of God being explained and taught and preached through them. God applies His Word through His servants. I remember some years ago, I was in my late teens, I was probably 19 at the time. I was sitting in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast. I was sitting somewhere near the back because I wasn't that particularly interested in what was being said. But I do remember what happened at the end of the service. The preacher had been making an appeal for those who heard the Word of God being applied to their heart with regards to full-time service. And if you felt God calling you to come forward and speak to Him, and He would give advice and counsel to them. Well, that didn't apply to me because I didn't feel that God was calling me to full-time service. But then he offered another word of counsel. He said, "I wonder, is there some here today that if God were to call you, if you would be willing to follow?" And that word struck me. God pierced me through with that word. Yes, I could say before, God wasn't calling me, but how would I respond to that probing question from the mouth of His servant? If God were to speak to you and call you to full-time service, Would you be willing to go? God used that word to speak to me. He brought me to my knees. And that night, we surrendered to the Lord all that we had, and that if He desired or wanted me, that He could have me. Of course, I didn't think back then that God would want me. I thought I was safe in saying that, but God works in mysterious ways. But God spoke through His servant. It got my attention. And that meeting became truly a turning point in my life. One simple message, one sentence spoken by His servant, God spoke to me through that preacher. If you'd have told me 25 years ago that today I would be pastoring a church in Australia, I would have said, you're crazy. I'm at university, I'm studying computers, I've got my whole life planned out what I want to do. I had no intention of being a preacher of the gospel. Yet God spoke to me that night, and my life was turned around. Sometimes I get to thinking, what if I hadn't been at that service? What if I hadn't been at that meeting? What if I had missed that message that turned out to be such a turning point in my life? What if I hadn't been there to hear what the preacher said? That's why I don't like missing church. I don't like being absent from the house of God when God's people meet together for worship and praise. Even when we go on holidays, if we can, we seek to find the church. Because I think to myself, what if God has had His preacher prepare a message just for me? And what if I'm not there to hear it? I don't ever want to miss out on God communicating with me. I don't want to miss it. I want to be there. I know from my own experience as a minister, sometimes being perhaps more intimately aware of problems and difficulties that people are having, and thinking as you come to the scripture under consideration this week, here's a message that will be wonderful for this person or that person, and they're not there, and they don't hear it. And you think to yourself, if they had only been here, how God might have spoken to them through that verse of scripture. But they weren't here, and they didn't receive the message. We don't want to miss out when God speaks through His word or through His servants. The Bible reveals to us that God has gifted to His church pastors and teachers and evangelists to communicate His word. And we've all experienced that time when it seems that the preacher has been fed information about us, that his message has been prepared with us in mind. I want to assure you that that isn't what happened. There's no one feeding me tidbits of information about you so that I can tailor the message just to suit. I'm not clever enough to think of all of this stuff week by week, Sunday after Sunday, 52 weeks a year, and hit the nail on the head every time. I can't do it. But God can. And so in our times of preparation, we're praying, Lord, you know in advance who's going to be here. You know who you're going to bring to church next Lord's Day. Lord, you know what their needs are, what their requirements are, whether they need encouragement, an exhortation, whether they need to be chastened or rebuked, whatever it is, Lord. Show me that I can speak it and share it and bless them through it. Help me have something to say that's going to help them through the rest of the week. May the message that they hear on Sunday, may it be food for their soul Monday through Saturday again. And the Lord impresses upon us certain verses or certain words or certain ideas or truths as we're studying, and we seek that the Lord might speak to me, that I in turn might speak to others. I tend to find that the most effective messages that I preach are those that I preach first of all to myself. I don't want you to think that I have a high opinion of myself. Oh, God speaks through him. God does, I have no doubt about it. But I see myself more like Balaam's donkey than a burning bush. I'm amazed by it. Sometimes I'm shocked by it. That God should ever use something so weak and lowly and worthless to carry a message of grace and love and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve it. But I've no doubt that God uses it. God speaks through his preachers. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Our prayer every week as we preach is that God will take his word and write it upon our hearts. That God's Holy Spirit will do. And as long as we are faithful to what the scriptures are teaching, as long as we're speaking the words of God, that we are in accordance with God's revealed will and word, God speaks to us. Obviously then, the more preaching that we hear, the more opportunity for us to hear God speak. That's why once a week is not sufficient. We need to hear the word of God more regularly than just once upon the Sunday. If we treated our bodies the same way that we treated our soul, how badly nourished we would be. If we only fed our bodies once a week, and then come the Lord's Day and try to eat as much as we can to keep us going the other 6 days of the week, it wouldn't be too long before we would be badly malnourished and severe case of indigestion. We need to be continually feeding us. We need to come to hear the word of God time and again. That's why we go through the scriptures systematically, seeking to open up a portion or a passage. We have wonderful tools available to us. There are countless sermons available online. Sermon audio comes to mind. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of messages available at a click of a button. Put them on a CD. Put them on a memory stick. Plug it into your computer. Play them in your car. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, listen to the Word of God. Too many Christians get into the car and they turn on the radio and they get the news or they listen to the latest music charts. We know more about what's happened in the last 24 hours than what we know of the Word of God. So we make a choice. Am I going to the Bible study or am I going to watch television? Am I going to listen to a message from the Scriptures or am I going to listen to what's happening on the radio? What's going to benefit me more in the long run? Of course, this just doesn't apply to preachers. Every child of God is to be a servant of the Lord. And every time that we speak to those around us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, God is able to speak through us. I think of many occasions over my life where I've crossed paths with one or another and some have shared some gospel truth. And how blessed I have been. They haven't been preachers or evangelists. Just someone who God has used to bring his word to bear upon my life. You can be that person. Share that verse that has come to mind the next time you're in conversation with that person. Where do you think it came from to begin with? God was seeking to speak through you. Unless you're afraid that you should say the wrong thing, remember what it says in Matthew 10 and 19. Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. If we are filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God, and we're speaking to others, and a verse comes to mind, God has put it there. Share it. God speaks through His Word. He speaks through His ministers. That includes each and every one of us that know the Lord. He speaks through impressions. He puts thoughts in our mind. We call that inspiration. When the devil puts a thought in our mind, we call that temptation. But when the Lord speaks to us and presses something upon us, we call that inspiration. John 14 and 26. The Comforter, the Savior said, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So when we're saying that the Lord gives impressions to us, we're looking at that verse where the Holy Spirit shall bring all things to your remembrance. He'll bring to your mind the things that you have already learned concerning the Lord. He will direct us. We might call it a hunch or a gut feeling, but it may be God directing. That great idea that you've just had. Could it be the Lord that is prompting you? That care or concern that you have for some other person. You know, I must give them a call. I must write them a letter. I must visit them and see how they're doing. Being used of the Lord. Open to His promptings, to His guiding. We do have to be careful, and we will come back to the subject next week of the Lord speaking to us through impressions, because we need to be able to evaluate them. We need to be able to find out, is this impression something that God has placed upon me, or is it something else? Like I said, we'll come back next week, but there are two extremes that we need to avoid about the subject of these impressions. There's that of the rationalist who denies that God could ever speak to us just in our mind, that He only speaks to us through the Scriptures and never gives us any impressions. Then we've got, on the other side, the mystic, who's under the impression that every message that they receive is from God. And that's obviously wrong too. And we need to avoid both of those extremes, the rationalist, who thinks that God never gives them an idea, and thereby misses out on much of God's counsel and care and concern and challenges. They miss it all. But we also want to avoid the errors of the mystic who thinks that every impression that they receive is an impression from God. And you'll note that throughout history there have been a lot of silly mistakes and problems that are traced back to those who said God told me to do this. We need to be careful. We need to be aware that Satan can put ideas in our mind. Our own flesh can deceive us. The warning is to always test the impression. I remember back in my Bible college days, Dr. Johnson, one of our lecturers, used the illustration of a boat coming into a harbour. And those of you that sail will know perhaps what I'm speaking of. But in some of the narrow channels coming into harbours, where there's only really one pathway that you can come in safely, that there are lights at a distance one from another, and as you get those three lights lined up, you know that you're on a straight course that will bring you to safety. And he likened those three lights to the Word of God, to our own human desires, and to the circumstances that surround us. And when all three line up, we know that God is speaking. Do the Scriptures affirm it? Does my own heart agree with it? Do the circumstances around us lend itself to it? And thereby we can determine whether God is revealing Himself to us in that regard or not. If we don't have the Bible to back it up, and it seems to be going contrary to our own opinions, we need to be careful. But we will always want to test, and we'll come back next week and consider that more. If we ever get an impression that goes against the Word of God, then we avoid it, we set it aside, because God never contradicts Himself. Is there a fourth way that God speaks? There is. He speaks to us through pain. It's alluded to there in the book of Job, in the chapter 33, that we read together, where we're told of bones that were out of joint, and all kinds of physical ailments. God can speak to us, even through the sufferings that we endure. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 reminds us that the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Now every one of you knows this by experience. Not all pain is God speaking to us. Not every little hurt or ache or pain that we have is from God. But some of it is. And God has used those things to slow us down, to get our attention. I remember hearing of a man who had trouble with his back. He had some discs that had went out. And when asked, why do you think this happened? He said, God had to put me on the flat of my back in order to get me to look up to Him. It gets our attention. God whispers to us in pleasure, but He shouts to us in pain, someone said. It gets our attention. I've met many in hospital wards that have found that it's there when they have time for nothing more than to read God's word or to hear God speak, that it seems that He has spoken most clearly. They have to be brought to such a position, right almost to the very verge of death, before they would recognize their own mortality and the eternity that stretches before them. And to hear God speaking even in those quiet moments, Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It softens us up to hear from God. Perhaps we're so busy with everything else that the only way for God to get our attention is to slow us right down. God speaks to us in a variety of ways. We've listed four. They're by no means the only ways that God can speak, but they are the primary ways. But why is it important to hear God speak? Very quickly, it assures us that we are in God's family. The proof that you really know the Lord Jesus Christ is that God speaks to you through Him. The Savior said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If we have never heard God speaking to us, if He's never brought that message to our heart, then we have every reason to doubt that we are genuinely saved at all. If we belong to Christ, we will hear His voice and we will follow Him. We will recognize the Father's voice. When I call my children, I don't have to say, this is Ralph Hall, your father speaking. I just speak to them. And they recognize my voice. My children don't have to say, this is Emma, your daughter, or this is James or Matthew or Jack, your son. Why? Because I know their voice. We have a relationship. We recognize one another because we have conversed with one another. And if we've never heard God speaking, it's perhaps because we've never been saved. It's possible to know about the Lord Jesus and yet not know Him. One of the proofs that we are genuinely converted is that God has revealed Himself to us and has spoken unto us, and His Holy Spirit directs us in the things of God. we listen and we hear him speak. It proves we're part of the family. Secondly, it protects us from mistakes. Job 33, verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their destruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. When God speaks, he protects us and delivers us from problems and error. He will warn us in advance. He will tell us things that need to be avoided, mistakes that we need to stay clear of. If we're really tuning into what God is saying, he will direct us through his word, and we will avoid many of the pitfalls in life, because when God says don't, then we ought not to do it. And even if the rest of the world and everyone else says, go on ahead and enjoy it, when God's word is being listened to, we will avoid many of the problems of life. And we listen to God, and it saves us from mistakes. Look at your own life, at the times of trouble that have befallen us, and how many times is it a result because we ignored what God said. And we did what we wanted, irrespective of what the Word of God has said. If only we had listened to the Scriptures, how much trouble we could have saved ourselves. God speaks to us, proving that we are his children, protecting us from mistakes, and producing within us a life that is productive. The more we depend on God's guidance, the more blessed and successful we will be. I think of that blessed man in Psalm 1 whose delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate day and night. He was listening to God as he spoke to him. God said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. A life that is blessed, knowing God's will and being found right in the center of it, knowing what God has said and doing it with heart and soul and mind and strength. Why does God go to the trouble of speaking to us? Because he loves us, he cares for us, he would keep us from danger and from ruin, and because he desires that we might be blessed in him. We haven't been created nor converted just to take up space upon this earth. We were made to have a relationship with God. We finish with the words of Hebrews 3 and 15. That today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. May God speak to us through his word. Speak to us through his ministry. May he speak to us through the gospel that we have learned, that is registered in our heart, that is brought to our attention in the most opportune of times. May God get our attention. May he speak to us. And may we have ears to hear all that the Lord would say. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank thee for thy precious truth that we have read together this afternoon. For the message that it contains, for the advice that it gives, for the counsel that's set before us, for the warnings and the prohibitions to keep us from error and from sin. Oh, may thy Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, teach us in the things of Christ, that we might be kept from ruin, from destruction, from fault and from error, that we might walk humbly before thee, our God, fully in tune with what the Lord has said, hearing and heeding that blessed truth, with lives conformed more and more unto the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to us, we pray, and may we be given ears to hear and hearts to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.